There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Indeed it is. You're listening to The Grill live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Thanks so much indeed to all of you for being with us. We're broadcasting live from Barassi. We're up here on the rooftop garden. It's a beautiful evening as well. It's warm. The sun is about to set behind us as well. And the good news is we've got plenty to report on sporting fronts. There's been a goal in the early kickoff in the Emirates FA Cup. Matt Fortune's got the latest for us.
Indeed there has, Tom. Just half an hour gone in the game and it's the Premier League side, Brighton and Hove Albion, struggling in the Premier League. Give them a lower league opposition and they're up and firing. It's their eighth attempt on goal. They really are the dominant force, but it's a beautiful, beautiful finish. Nice interchange down the right-hand side, cut back, and there's Anthony Knockhart running in from the left around about the penalty spot. Gets his head over the ball, shapes a beautiful side foot finish inside the near post. It's one of those chances that you have seen 100 times go over the stand. A player leans back a little bit, comes onto it a little bit too strong, but Knockhart caught it brilliantly, tucked inside the near post, and it's 1-0 Brighton.
Plenty of other sport going on around the world. There's lots of football as well. Levante still with that 2-goal lead. Second half's just started there. They're away at Celta Vigo at the moment. It's just kicked off in the Championship as well. As Matt and myself were just speaking there, we weren't expecting, not exactly expecting fireworks at Rotherham this afternoon.
No, and true to form, it is still goalless down there indeed. So it's Rotherham 0, Sheffield Wednesday 0. If you look a little bit further down the league ladder though, for a little bit of action, Southend United are hosting high-flying Portsmouth, and in the space of half an hour, it's the South Coast club Pompey who are 3-0 up.
It must be a South Coast derby, mustn't it? Southend Portsmouth. There must be a bit of...
Southend's too far around. Southend's
is it too far around?
The Essex corner, yeah.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Yeah, it'd be all the way around there. But it's a coastal derby.
Ish, I think Southend's technically on the Thames, is it not?
I mean, it's close to the Thames, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. I've actually been to Roots Hall. It's travelling across from London back in my early journalism days, being given a FA Cup third round tie for Southend away. That's really cutting your teeth in journalism, Matt, I tell you.
What's going on in the cricket? Little I can tell you, Islamabad United have lost another wicket. They're into their penultimate over. 18.2 overs have been completed. They're taking on the Multan Sultans at the moment, my favourite name in cricket. The two men still at the crease, Patel and Fahim Ashraf, last man to go, was of course Shadab, who was the last man to go. Shadab Khan with the last of those wickets to fall. What's happening down in Durban, isn't it? Is that where they're playing?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, Tom, Sri Lanka are hanging on. As Pereira, he is really having a fantastic day at the wicket. He's on 142 runs. He is the backbone of this Sri Lankan innings. He's hit 11 fours, 4 sixes. Sri Lanka at the moment need 14 runs to win this game with no wickets in hand, yet they do have a day still to play. So things looking very, very good for the Sri Lankans. South Africa, if they're wanting to win this one, they need to get the wicket of Pereira. He is the danger man.
Okay, time for us to talk tennis here on The Grill. Why? Well, because you don't have to look a million miles from here to see world-class tennis in action. Tomorrow sees the official start of this year's Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Magnificent. Malek Jaziri, he's beaten the world number 4. Just to make it celebrate his win. Filip Krajinovic from Serbia looks like the real deal. And he's made it. Wow. History for Malek Jaziri. Queen is on a roll. Ready, put your bets on the line, throw it down. Wow. And the last of the quarterfinals is decided. Magnificent. Queen has won a simply magnificent match. This is extraordinary. And it is game, set and match to Roberto Bautista Agut.
That's insane how good that is from Bautista Agut.
delight for Bautista Agut. His eighth title, his biggest.
That was 2018. This is 2019. So, Roberta, Bautista Agut was crowned the men's champion last week. He will be back to defend his title against the likes of Kina Shikori and a certain Roger Federer. But that's not for another week. Before that, we have got the most intriguing women's draw for quite some time. Top three players in the world, all here. Osaka, Kvitova, Halep. 15 of the top 20 in the world are all here. And the official draw took place a little earlier on today. So let's get some thoughts from that before I get some thoughts from the team here at Burasti. It is all the... well, let's get the thoughts from the guys from the draw itself, because our man Robbie Greenfield was down there. He caught up, first and foremost, with former champion, former world number one, Caroline Wozniacki, who will be part of proceedings as of tomorrow.
Yeah, it's such a great tournament. As you know, obviously, it's a strong field. Everyone wants to play here and everyone wants to win, so I'm just excited to be here.
And in terms of the quality of the field, 15 of the top 20, the top three in the rankings all present, that's got to be something quite exciting to be a part of, out with the Grand Slams and the Premier Tournament.
Yeah, you know, you want to play up against the best players in the world, so it's awesome to have this field here and that everyone wants to play.
And given your record here, what would represent a good week? Is it nothing less than picking up the winner's trophy at the end?
I don't know. You know, I'm just here to enjoy myself, here to do my best and see what happens.
Caroline Wozniacki currently in the top 10. She had a very successful 2018, looking to continue that form into 2019. One lady who also had an extraordinary year last year is Petra Kvitova, and she also spoke to Robbie Greenfield.
It's a tough draw here, different on the field. It's packed, and any player can only play great. And we'll see how everything will go, but I'm happy to be here playing, and we'll see how my performance will be.
And you mentioned just a few moments ago, it took some time to get over that loss to Naomi Osaka at the Australian Open. How do you come back from a loss like that? And obviously you're taking a huge amount of confidence from the way you played going forward into the rest of 2019.
Yeah, it took me a few days to get over it, but in the end of the day, I know it was a great run in Australia, and I won a Sydney and play final of the Aussie Open, so for me it was a brilliant start of the year.
We've got through a little chat about all things tennis without even mentioning some of the other big names that are here. None more so than Simona Halep, who has been in extraordinary form over the last couple of weeks, and extraordinary form last year as well. In fact, if you look back at the WTA year-ending awards dinner at the end of last year, and look at all those female players that were featured for the Player of the Year award, all of them are here in Dubai.
Simona Halep has held the top spot in the WTA rankings for 39 out of 43 weeks in 2018, doing so by reaching a tour-leading six finals and capturing three trophies, including her first Grand Slam title at Roland Garros. After appearing in the Australian Open semifinals and Roland Garros quarterfinals, Angelique Kerber won Wimbledon for her third Grand Slam title, catapulting her back inside the WTA top five. Petra Kvitova's season saw her lead the WTA in overall match wins with 47. And with a perfect 5-0 record in finals, she lifted more titles than any other player on tour in 2018. It was a season of firsts for Naomi Osaka. Her first career WTA title as champion of the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells. Her first major title after winning the US Open, which led to making her debut in the WTA's top 10. Caroline Wozniacki's 2018 form returned her to the top of the WTA rankings this year by capturing titles number 28, 29, and 30. Highlighted by winning her first Grand Slam title at the Australian Open. The Player of the Year is Simona Halep.
So Simona Halep was crowned the Player of the Year last year. However, she has seen that number one spot be given away to Naomi Osaka, who's had extraordinary last couple of seasons. Osaka also here in Dubai. Carlos van Rosenfeld, a lover of tennis, a strong field.
Oh, strong field is understatement, Tom. An exceptional field. I actually want to go as far to say as one of the strongest that I've ever seen at Dubai Duty Free. And you mentioned the name, and I think everybody's going to go down there to see her. I will be down there, so Chris McCarty, make sure my media pass is organized to see Naomi Osaka, because to me, honestly, since the Williams sisters, I think she's one of the most exciting ladies to hit the tour. She's been phenomenal, Tom. You know, a lot of people were a bit worried about her in the Australian Open. The way she came back, she really showed that she's an exceptional talent. I think it's really going to take a lot to beat her. But not taking anything away from the other ladies, Kvitova has been in sensational form. We know how well she's played there. Halep finally got that monkey off her back last year and won the French Open. Kerber, and the list just goes on and on. So it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic week of tennis here in Dubai.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, Matt Fortune, we talk about the men's game quite a lot and the fact that it's been dominated by a couple of players. Same could be said, I suppose, in the Williams era for the female game. But with them being so selective about which tournaments they play in at the moment, Venus and Serena, it really does open up a very rich sort of field of talent when you come to places and tournaments like this.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You have to look at it. Last year, 2018, four Grand Slams, four different winners, all four here this week, which I think is fascinating. And I'm going to go so far as to say, I know Carl there saying that it's the best field he's seen in this tournament. I'm going to argue this is one of the best fields in whatever sport we've seen in the region for some time, because having the absolute pinnacle of players actually doesn't happen all that often. You need to look at, well, my sport of choice is triathlon and Ironman. The top two in the world were not here last week for the Dubai Half Ironman. And that tends to happen quite a lot. So I think it's nine of the top 10 players, I think, which is absolutely brilliant. And the fact that it's essentially 20 minutes down the road from where we are, I think is really interesting. And there's a lot of little side stories as well. Angelique Kerber, you mentioned there, twice a semi-finalist here, of course. Simona Halep, she's playing in a final at 7 p.m. tonight, so she'll be coming straight fresh, likely off a victory. Naomi Osaka, of course, will be touched on, but the one thing we haven't mentioned is this is Osaka's first tournament since ditching her coach.
Three days ago, indeed.
And Sunday is going to be the first chance we get to hear about that, so we don't actually know how that's affected her. Of course, winner of the last two Grand Slams, but the coach that's got her there is not going to be on her side, and I think that's going to be a really interesting one to watch. So by no means do I think this is Osaka's title.
We're going to talk more tennis in just a few moments' time. I want to talk about Naomi Osaka, though, as well, taking the sport of female tennis, taking the sport of tennis by storm in recent times as well. Look, she has been not criticised, but certainly some of her sort of the fact that she's very, very shy, the fact that she is very, very reserved. It's really unfair that people sort of pick up on that one as well. But she's so young as well.
Oh, Tom, you know, I've heard this many a times, and people have, you know, she needs media training. She talks on the court, you know, this is where she needs to do her job. So, yes, I think it was at the Australian Open when she went, hello, or something like this, you know. So I think she's 20 years old or 21 years old. She will grow into that role as she gets used to it. But if there's one part of her game that needs some work, it's
maybe
media training.
I think that's what's endearing people to her.
Well, I think it's a genuine personality. We go back an hour ago in the show, and not wishing to denigrate the work Chris McCarty did with Danny Welbeck, but sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of genuine personality in sport, whether or not it's absolutely bursting at the seams with personality. Just to see a person being who they are, they just so happen to be really, really good at sport, I actually think you're absolutely right, is endearing. It's fascinating to see, and she doesn't have to be... You know, you look at big personalities in sport, they're always the ones that people talk about. But ultimately, they also talk about the ones that are most successful. And back-to-back Grand Slams at the age of 21 is going to get people talking about you.
We will reflect on that in just a few moments' time. We'll also bring you bang up to date with what's going on in the world of sport. We have news of a goal.
Indeed we do, Tom, and it's the Premier League leaders who extended their lead in the second, I was about to say the first there, but of course there was a game yesterday, in the second FA Cup fifth round tie. Just watching it back now, again Brighton getting down the right-hand side, working a little bit of space behind Derby's back line, a curled shot, I'm just trying to make out who that is. Bissouma shapes a beautiful left-foot shot, out of the reach of the goalkeeper, pings back off the post, and I think that's Lucardia, the quickest to react, tapping a ball into an empty net. So Brighton now 2-0 up ahead of Frank Lampard's Derby, and we've got a couple of minutes to go before the break.
Keep an eye on that one. Let's go back to Naomi Osaka. Now, I am going to argue a fact that, you know, okay, because she showed a lot of emotion both down in the US Open and at the Australian Open more recently as well. But she's also, I think she's got a really good sense of humour. Reason being, I've been doing a little bit of research on all things Naomi over the last few days. And she's not shy of cracking a few funnies during press conferences.
You guys are so serious today. One more time for the people in the back.
What was that I thing that you did just now?
For me, when I was her age, Oh God, when I was her age.
I had a wig on.
Do you have anything interesting to ask? I'm sorry, this is so...
I wanna die.
What am I saying?
Hey, Naomi. She's playing really good.
This, bless you.
Oh, come on, that's the question? Are you sure? After the match, I run 10 miles, and then I do 100 sit-ups.
If she were to ask you for one piece of advice, what would you tell her?
Don't ask me for advice. That's the advice I would tell her.
I'm a ghost. You don't see me.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Barasti's 10-year challenge, 29 dirham drinks menu. On sale now.
At Multan Sultans will need 126 if they are to win their game. This is the fourth game in the Pakistan Super League being played here in Dubai. So 126 the target after they finish on 125 for the loss of 7 wickets. Some good hitting out in the final few overs from Patel, Samet Patel that is, and Fahim Ashraf, both finishing with 20 apiece. What about Durban? Let's get down there.
Rub it in, Tom. Rub it in. Sri Lanka have won by one wicket. And what a fantastic innings by Pereira. They just couldn't get the man down. 153 runs, 307 minutes at the crease off 200 balls. And he really started opening the taps at the end there. 12 fours, 5 sixes, a strike rate of 76.5. Sri Lanka have won the test match by one wicket with a day in hand. Congratulations to them.
What's happening in the football? Let's get the latest. We've got action from the Premier, from the FA Cup, the Emirates FA Cup, that is. We've got action from the Championship, League One, and over in La Liga. Matt Fortune.
Yeah, over in Spain. So Levante, last time we came to us, it was 2-0 going into half-time, but Levante have started the second half as they ended the first. They've grabbed another goal. It's their captain again. Jose Luis Morales has got his 8th of the season now. They lead Celta Vigo 3-0. And one more goal for Levante here. This win will put them, albeit temporarily, into the top half of the table.
That's what's happening over in Spain. It's half-time in the Emirates FA Cup, and it's still that two-goal advantage for Brighton, who are playing Frank Lampard's derby at the moment. What about the Championship? Anything going on
Championship,
there?
Nothing. We're 22 minutes into the game between Rotherham United and Sheffield Wednesday, now managed by Steve Bruce, of course, but no change in their recent fortune of really not getting in amongst the goals. I think we run it through early. There's been 7 goals in their last 10 games, and there has been none so far in this one. Further down the ladder, Southend have pulled one back. It was 3-0 last time we spoke, but they've gone into the break with their game against Portsmouth 3-1. And that is all we have to report to from the UK.
All right, let's talk tennis again if we can, because it's good. It's really good, this. I'm liking the fact that we're talking positively about the women's game of tennis at the moment. Why? Because the tournaments seem to be a lot more open. But also, I think it's got something to do with this Naomi Osaka. I mean, she has taken the sport by storm. And do we believe that she is one for the future? I mean, will she be around for a long time, do you think?
I believe she is one for the future, Tom. And I'll tell you why I believe so. Because against Kvitova in that second set that she lost, I think she had match point, if memory serves me correct. Kvitova then came back and won that second set. And all of a sudden, the momentum was with Kvitova. And I thought to myself, well, Osaka's really going to get tested here. I didn't really think she'd come back, and she came back in fine style. And I think that just showed what a true champion she is. And, of course, she still needs to be... We'll have to see what she does on clay, what she does on grass. But on the hard courts, to me, she's absolutely fantastic. She's got the right temperament, and I think she's definitely one for the future. At the age of 21, to have won two slams following one another, it's a fantastic achievement.
And it's an extraordinary move, isn't it, for Osaka? I mean, this time last year, we wouldn't have really been discussing her. In fact, I looked at the results from Dubai Jude Free Tennis Championship last year. She was here. She played and got knocked out in the first round. I don't think any of us mentioned the fact she was here at the moment. Fast forward a year, and everyone's talking about her.
Yeah, as you say, a lot can change. And, you know, she's put in the work. She's really defined her game. And, she's, as you say, ranked the number one player in the world. And to me, the thing is, she hasn't, not that there's any easy way to get to number one, Tom, don't get me wrong, if you're the number one player in the world, you are fantastic. But she has beaten the best of the best. It's not like people have been injured or whatever the case. She's done it the hard way, and I think that's why, you know, she deserves all the applause that she's getting.
She's been impressive, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. You said earlier then, is she finally, your question was, the one to kind of really upset the Williams dominance? I've just had a scroll back through here. The last women's player who wasn't a Williams to win back-to-back Grand Slam titles in the women's game.
Back-to-back.
It's good, isn't it?
It wasn't a Williams.
I'd go with Justine Henin-Ardenne.
Oh, you're wrong, Tom, I'm afraid. You have to go a little bit further back than that.
Steffi
Graf. Look, Benj has got it. Look, he knows it already. Oh, no.
No.
Steffi Graf.
Hingis. Jennifer Capriati.
No, also incorrect. Oh. It's Martina Hingis, 1998. Same combo, US and Australian. That's how far back you have to go. So to answer your question in that sense, perhaps she really is aged 21. She is really the one that's finally going to put her foot down and make the most of it.
I just find it fascinating. If given the impact she's had, and yet we still don't know a huge amount about her, do we? No, she plays under the Japanese flag, but obviously she's got American heritage as well. She's based in the States. Dad's from Hawaii as well. In fact, to this end, let's find out a little bit more about Naomi Osaka. Who exactly is Naomi Osaka?
A U.S. Open title requires a victory lap. And for Naomi Osaka, that includes time spent in Haiti, where her father was born.
You know, at the end of a game or something, quite often you do something like this, or, I mean, feel free to express joy or like, yeah, you know, what you feel when you just won a game.
I don't feel
it. Yeah.
Okay, so the victory, yes.
Half Japanese, half Haitian, and raised in America, Osaka cuts a complex figure. The new face of tennis can be hard to read.
People who know that I work with her always asking me why she doesn't like to smile. All my friends keep texting me.
Oh my God. I feel like I smile a lot. I find it very difficult to smile when I don't really feel like it's not a genuine smile. But I think I play better when I don't have too many emotions on the court. I don't think it's in my nature. Like, sometimes before I win a match, I would think, if I win this match, then I'm gonna like throw my racket or something. But in the end, when I win, I never do that.
Whatever feelings simmer beneath the surface, Osaka seldom shows them, which is why the 2018 U.S. Open final was as much a study in contrast as it was a high-stakes tennis match.
I always dreamed when I was little that I would play the U.S. Open final against Serena. I mean, that itself was a little bit of a dream.
Serena against Naomi Osaka.
Just for that moment to happen, it felt very surreal.
Serena Williams to serve. Ready, play.
It was a strange match, lacking in rhythm from the start. The conclusion was downright bizarre.
This is not fair. This has happened to me too many times. This is not fair.
Championship point for the 20-year-old.
Second match. Osaka, 6-2-6-4.
The future is there.
I know that everyone was cheering for her, and I'm sorry it had to end like this. While I was playing, I didn't really know too much what was going on. I think now the US Open feels so long ago. For me, I'm just sort of in the present now.
Yo jeune petit mesdames, yo jeune petit monsieur, t'as toujours fréquenté l'école ça, et puis prendre Naomi comme exemple, et puis pour travailler avec elle, et puis de m'essayer pour nous d'avoir un monde pour Naomi qui représente le pays.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
but that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a very good thing.
Leaving the spotlight behind, Osaka visited Jacmel, the hometown of her father, Leonard Francois. The Osaka family began building a school here years ago, and Naomi has come to lend her support. The Haitian people were eager to give her a hero's welcome.
The Haitian culture is that everyone's so welcoming is something that's really amazing, and I think it's something that my dad, he sort of described throughout the years, but I never really experienced it until now.
Moun ke nou menm tou, nou se champion, menm Jean Naomi, pi se yon champion.
I'm not sure if I do inspire kids, but I think that if I do, then I'm really honored.
As humble as she may be, here in Haiti, like on the court, Osaka speaks mostly with her actions.
Going to the school means a lot, I think, for my family, because my mom and my dad, they built that school and it just, like, expanded.
La famille François et Osaka, plus particulièrement Mademoiselle Naomi Osaka. Recevez ce bouquet en signe de notre amour.
Just seeing that all the work that my parents put into the school and seeing it paying off and, like, having all those little kids actually going to the school, I think it felt a little bit surreal. But I feel like every Haitian person, they're so willing to give, and they would give more than they have. So I feel like that's something that I want to be like. Hopefully I can, like, try to emulate that more.
How much more does Naomi Osaka have to give? Now, as the 2019 season begins, we'll find out if this extravagant talent with a storied background has another gear. If, as her competitors fear, she's still getting better.
Everyone that wins a Grand Slam sort of changes their life in a ways. I'm sort of trusting the process, and I know that everyone has their own path, so I just hope to do well in mine.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Second half of the FA Cup, the Emirates FA Cup, fifth round clash between Brighton and Derby has just got underway. Wimbledon against Millwall is your 7 o'clock kickoff. That's not live here on Dubai Eye 103.8, but as a bit of a Billy bonus for you, from 9.30 this evening, you will be able to hear the big, strong lads from Newport taking on the timid, smaller, more diminutive internationals from Man City. 9.30 this evening. We'll have a bit of team news and build-up for you on that one. No goals at Rotherham against Sheffield. Portsmouth still leading Southend by 3-1. And we'll keep an eye on developments over in Spain for you as well. In fact, another goal has gone in over in Spain, where Levante are doing a number on Celta Vigo at the moment. It's always nice to go away from home, score 3 goals away from home against one of your arch rivals.
Yeah, and then one of your arch rivals gets a man sent off shortly after the after the interval as well. It's certainly a big help. So yeah, you're right, Tom, it's still Levante 3-0. We've got about 10 minutes left in that game.
We're going to keep an eye on all of those. I do want to talk about boxing though, if I can, because big news during the week. And whenever Anthony Joshua takes to his social media channels or his own dedicated YouTube channel, you can pretty much guarantee there's going to be some news. Let's hear from AJ.
June the 1st, I'll be travelling to MSG, abbreviated for Madison Square Gardens, New York City, the Big Apple. I'm there to take a bite out of that, and I'm going to be competing against Jerome Miller for the Heavyweight Championship of the World. I will be defending my titles in New York. You know, Wembley is so close to my heart. It's a great spot, it's a great location. I fought in small halls, I fought in arenas, and it's been a humbling and a blessing to fight in the stadiums. But now it's time for a change.
So he's gonna get that change, he's gonna go over to New York, he's gonna fight at Madison Square Gardens. Who's he fighting against though? Jarrell Miller. Let's hear from the big man, or the man they call Big Baby, shall we? Let's hear from him now.
Time to get to work, small town, you still got a job to do. And that's what I'm focused on. Ain't nothing humble about this, nice about this game. It's about hard work, you doing whatever you can do to win the fights. No, that's the main goal, run them over. I'm not playing no games today. There's no way to prepare for me. There's no right way of preparing for a person like me. I'm going to be in AJ's face 24-7. He think I'm Charles Martin if I'm in Brazil. Like, listen, I'm nowhere near it. You know what I mean? And a lot of Brits are feeling extra cocky, but it's a totally different story. You know what I mean? Heavyweight division is a lot of it. You know what I mean? We have some heavyweight Brits that don't look so great either. I think the two top Brits are Tyson and AJ, and the two top Americans, me and Deontay. Like I said, AJ gonna have more than his handful because he gonna leave them belts right over there. So don't worry, you want entertainment, you gonna get it. And there's the fight you need to see.
Who is Jarrell Big Baby Miller?
So who is Jarrell Miller? Well, as you said, he's a 30-year-old American, 6'4", so he's given up a couple of inches to AJ, but he's a big, big boy. There's 70 pounds between him and AJ. He's short, he's aggressive, he's mean. Fights orthodox, so it will be the same as AJ tends to come up a lot against. He's been active 4 years longer than AJ, so he's kind of been around, but he has only fought one more time. He's got an almost perfect record, one draw in his seventh bout several years ago. The problem is, it's just not the big box office fight that we've been waiting for from AJ. And it actually, to be fair, has been a long time since that's happened.
Yeah.
A lot of the things we've been reading, apart from who is Jarrell Miller, is really who is AJ becoming. And I think for fans of heavyweight boxing, because there is another fight expected pretty soon to be announced that's actually drawing a lot more of the attention. AJ's gone from being the darling of the heavyweight division to everybody being really interested in what he's doing to now, off the back of the Povetkin fight, which was not a massive deal. It was a consummate performance from AJ, a seventh round knockout, but it wasn't the big fight that everybody expected. One before that was Joseph Parker, who was really the easiest of the people going up against him for AJ to claim another belt. And AJ was far from convincing there. Going back again was Carlos Takam, and that was a weak performance from him. So there's not a lot of love for AJ really, but in terms of making your big step into the US market, fighting at Madison Square Garden, where of course, if you're a heavyweight boxer, you want to fight at MSG. It is really the home of boxing. It's the right move for him, I think, at a time when Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury will be going up against each other, sort of around the same period of time. There was nobody else. It would have been folly for him to have honoured the Wembley date he had, which I believe was April 14th, April 15th, because it just wouldn't have sold out, whoever he'd bought there. It was expectancy that it was going to be against Dillian White, but he's fought him before. He's made a mockery of him before. White is much improved. It still wouldn't have drawn the crowd. So I think for AJ to take this time, make the step into the US, if he can get out there, a big explosive performance, win quick, win aggressive, and really send a message to either Wilder or Fury, whoever comes up next, and I think it would have been the right move for him.
We will watch on with interest with this one. A lot of interesting comments coming through on it as well. Let's hear from the promoters, or promoters corner at the moment. Let's hear first and foremost from Yevgeny Salita, who is the promoter for Big Baby Miller. He's looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be a great fight, and I believe that Jarrell is going to come out victorious, and he's going to be the unified heavyweight world champion, following in the footsteps of Mike Tyson, Riddick Bowe, the great heavyweights from New York City, from Brooklyn, New York. I think it's going to be a fantastic night of boxing on June 1st. Jarrell is going to have a lot of support at the Garden. He's going to have a lot of support leading up to the fight, from the media attention to the fans. So I feel that, and Jarrell obviously, you know, is very confident. The lead up to this fight is going to be tremendous, and I really believe that Jarrell is going to score the upset, although it's not an upset in my mind, and derail the Joshua train. People talk about Jarrell's weight, but he's so athletic and so fast and so active, and he knows how to use it properly. He knows how to put the pressure on the fighter. He knows how to use it to his advantage. And you know, when the 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th round comes, if it goes that far, that weight is going to be a big impact to Jarrell's advantage, because he's in great shape. He trains very hard. As you've seen in his fights, he's very active. He throws a lot of punches. His skills and his personality just make him a one-of-a-kind guy. And that's what boxing is about. Boxing is about individualism. And Jarrell, being big as he is, having his personality, having his skills, make him an individual. And it is individuals that make great things happen and score upsets and become heavyweight champions of the world.
If you look at the tail of the tape, though, Anthony Joshua, I know he's given him a few years, etc., that's for sure, but Anthony Joshua, 22 from 22, 22-0-0, but Jarrell Miller's unbeaten as well.
Yeah,
23 fights.
Yeah, one draw going back a long way. it's who they fought. That's the big question. And we were looking earlier, and Eddie Hearn, and you know that there's, and it was quite funny looking at Eddie Hearn, of course, AJ's promoter, some of the comments on his Instagram. He posted a picture today talking about, essentially saying that AJ isn't ducking anybody.
Yeah.
Because if you look at AJ's record in his first 23 fights, he's fought 7 either current or former world champions, 4 Olympians. Deontay Wilder, 3 world champions, no Olympians. Tyson Fury, the same. And Miller has also got no one impressive on his record. And I think that's why he's not much of a big draw. And for him, for Miller, fighting in his own backyard, this will be his biggest purse. And that's what it is, because it's a big, big step up for him. He hasn't had a big shot. He hasn't deserved a big shot. He hasn't really earned one. And he's been, as I said earlier, he's been active 4 years longer than AJ and only had one more fight under him and not fought anyone of particular pedigree. And that's why there's not a lot of hype about Jarrell Miller.
Let's hear from Mr. Hearn now, shall we? We can't have a chat about all things AJ without hearing from Hearn. So let's see what he has to say on the matter.
He's a huge personality. I mean, he's huge in stature. He's about 24 stone. It's hard to prepare against a guy like that, but quite bizarrely, he has an unbelievable work rate as well. So he's going to be a problem in the ring. As a person, I quite like him. He's got a big personality. He grew up in Brooklyn, you know, and he's called for this fight. And he's been a little bit controversial in the build-up, but that's what people do to try and get the fight. I mean, he landed a few low blows at the press conference we had recently to announce our international stable where both guys were there. Now, he started talking about AJ's family and stuff like that, which didn't go down well at all. But, you know, there was a reason behind that. He wanted to goad Anthony into this fight, and he's got his wish. But, you know, as they say, be careful what you wish for. Jarrell Miller's going to get the fight with AJ. But, the good news for Miller is he is getting it in his backyard. And, you know, it's going to be a real solid challenge for Anthony in June.
Yeah, and a challenge of a different venue to one that he's used to. Of course, we saw him at Wembley Stadium against Alexander Povetkin. But what about this? The MSG, it's a tighter venue. It's an intimate venue, isn't it? How will he deal with that kind of challenge? As you say, it's something new for him.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't boxed a venue like that since Molina. And that was at the Manchester Arena. That was back in, December 2015, I think. So it's been a long time boxing in an arena. It's not just the arena. It's obviously the time zone. It's different commissions. It's different rings, different guys, all kinds of different things to consider. But he's really excited about that challenge and excited to do something different. And like I said, it was never our intention. You know, we wanted to go in Wembley on April 13th, but this opportunity presented itself. And I think with everything happening in the world in terms of heavyweight boxing, this is a major statement. And you don't really get many chances to headline at Madison Square Garden. Like I said earlier, the names that have done it are iconic in the sport of boxing. So to have on his resume, you know, Wembley Stadium, Millennium Stadium, Madison Square Garden, is an incredible achievement for a British heavyweight. And, you know, we want to take that Lion's Den to New York on June the 1st. We're going to be announcing a massive card, starting nice and early for people watching at home in the UK. And obviously, if you can make the trip out, we're going to give you a weekend you won't forget.
A weekend you won't forget. Fancy it, Carlos?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, to be honest. I've never been to a heavyweight world championship
fight.
Been
to Madison Square Gardens?
I've been to Madison Square Gardens, but I haven't been to a world heavyweight fight. So, yeah, it's something I still got, something on the bucket list, something I still got to do. But to your point a little bit earlier, I don't really think I would want to go watch Anthony against, Big Baby?
Big Baby.
Yeah.
Big Baby Miller.
Not really, to me, such a big draw card, but nonetheless, I think it's part of the work that AJ needs to do, and as you say, until he gets that big fight that everybody's waiting for, which ultimately is against Tyson Fury.
Matt Fortune, fancy it?
I will be there with bells on, Tom. Don't you worry about that. Wonderfully, and forgive the little moment of self-indulgence, I was due to return from a holiday on the east coast of the US on the 31st of May. I was flying out of Boston. And then this fight got announced, so my flights have changed and I've pushed them to the Sunday. I've checked the train times from Boston down to New York, and if I could make it back the following day to catch my Sunday night flight, and I can and I will.
Look at that. Sorted. Well, you will be our man ringside for that one. We're going to take a short break when we come back. More focus on today's Emirates FA Cup. In fact, not just today's, but this weekend's Emirates FA Cup.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
It is the Emirates FA Cup fifth round, and action is underway at the moment. Let's get an update, shall we? Brighton against Derby, early kickoff.
It's still 2-0 to Brighton and Hove Albion. We've just gone past the hour mark. And I have to be honest, Tom, it does not look good for the Championship side. Derby really struggling to assert any sort of influence on the Premier League side. And this is a much changed Brighton side as well. 8 changes before the game started, but they are doing a job, I think, as we say, very, very well done, picking holes in the Derby defence. And it's going to be a real lesson for Frank Lampard. His Derby side are knocking on the door of the Premier League, but this has been a big lesson for him.
Wimbledon against Millwall at 7 o'clock, and then Newport against Man City. Live here on Dubai I-103.8 from 9.30 this evening, so do stay tuned for that. Watford booked their place into the quarterfinals with a 1-0 victory yesterday, and there are plenty of games to look forward to tomorrow as well. In the Emirates FA Cup fifth round, Bristol City taking on Wolves, Doncaster Rovers at home to Palace, Swansea City take on Brentford. It is the fifth round of the FA Cup.
This year's Emirates FA Cup fourth round had everything you'd expect. From wonder strikes to game-changing saves and all the usual shocks and upsets. What better time is there to score your first professional brace in football? Starting with that brace, Scott Wagstaff became a hero for AFC Wimbledon when he netted twice against West Ham to claim one of the biggest scalps of the round. Labelled a disaster by Manuel Pellegrini, West Ham have now been knocked out of the cup for the last two seasons by League One opposition.
A pipe. Here's Wagstaff. It's a third. They really are in dreamland. Three changes by Manuel Pellegrini for West Ham at the start of the second half, but it's Wimbledon who've got a third goal.
West Ham weren't the only Premier League team on the receiving end of an FA Cup shock. Everton were stunned away from home at Millwall as Murray Wallace's goal deep in stoppage time secured the Championship team a huge win at the Den over the Merseyside club.
In a good area. What a chance for Murray Wallace! And Millwall go to round 5! A remarkable story here at the Den, and Murray Wallace is engulfed by his delirious teammates. Uproar inside the Den, and Premier League Everton have been knocked out of the FA Cup.
Elsewhere in South East London, a wayward Kieran Trippier penalty and a first goal in 799 days for Connor Wickham saw Crystal Palace upset Maurizio Pochettino's Tottenham Hotspur.
What a story this is! Palace lead after 9 minutes. It's his first goal in 799 days of misery after the long injury layoff.
Five goals past Burnley by Manchester City showed that they were in no mood for any upsets at the Etihad. And it could have easily been much more had it not been for Nick Pope's solid display in goal.
Brings for Danilo again. Super save by Pope.
Down south, Swansea put 4 past Gillingham for a comfortable home win in Wales.
A productive afternoon for Graham Potter and Swansea City.
And the in-form Manchester United claimed another win over their rivals and the FA Cup's most successful side, Arsenal, with Alexis Sanchez on hand to haunt his former club as he scored the first of 3 United goals.
Now Lukaku, they want to stop him on his left foot. It's a lovely ball for Alexis Sanchez, who goes round check and puts it into the net and scores for Manchester United against his old club at his former home.
Shrewsbury and Wolves provided the fourth round with plenty of drama. Shrewsbury flew out of the gates in their first match before Wolves came back from 2-0 down as Matt Doherty forced a replay with an injury time equaliser.
Traore, he delivers the cross and the header is in, and Wolves have saved themselves. Matt Doherty in the 93rd minute.
The replay saw a 5-goal thriller with Doherty the hero again as his brace helped Wolves deny Shrewsbury a famous win.
Cross is deep, Arnold is there, but so too is Doherty.
Newport continued their surprising FA Cup form as Matthew Dolan's 95th minute equaliser against Middlesbrough forced a replay against the side he started his football career with.
Dolan's in the middle, it didn't come to him, it might come to Matt. He still might come for Dolan! There is your story! The former Middlesbrough youth player rescues a draw for Newport County!
They continued their impressive form in the replay, stunning Middlesbrough 2-0.
And Newport County now have the prospect of Manchester City coming to South Wales in the FA Cup fifth round.
Ben Whiteman had a memorable day after Doncaster beat Oldham thanks to a brace from the captain himself. But it wasn't just the Doncaster skipper who'll remember the outing. Oldham captain Peter Clark had an eventful day too, scoring a goal, clearing a shot off the line, conceding a penalty and getting sent off.
Doncaster Rovers are through to the fifth round of the FA Cup for the first time in over 60 years.
Barnett's exceptional run came to an end at the hands of fellow Bees Brentford after a nail-biting 3-3 draw.
Sparks, he takes it and scores! What a free kick from Sparks, he's only just come on! Fantastic strike! Dan Sparks makes it 3-3!
Goals from Sergi Canos, Julian Janvier and Neil Mopai helped Brentford win 3-1 in the replay. Across the grounds, a whopping 53 goals were scored in just 16 games, and some of them were quite spectacular. Goals from De Bruyne,
De Bruyne to tee himself up,
Anderson, and Hudson-Odoi.
Christensen has found Hudson-Odoi, brilliantly done!
Made this one of the most exciting rounds so far. But football isn't just about goals. Goalkeepers and their defensive unit can be just as key to steering their side to victory, as we experienced in Wimbledon's win over the Hammers, with a string of big saves from 20-year-old Aaron Ramsdale.
Defied by Ramsdale. Antonio! He's been defied again. Heroic again from Ramsdale.
And despite being on the losing side, a big performance between the sticks from Oldham's Daniel Everson kept them in the contest against Doncaster. Meanwhile, down in Brighton, West Brom's keeper John Bond pulled off save after save to keep a clean sheet as the Baggies took Brighton to a replay, which Brighton subsequently won 3-1 at the Hawthorns. Despite the on-field heroics, there were some fourth-round moments that will surely never be forgotten. Up north, Kyle Walker tried out his new crossing technique, taking no prisoners, much to the misery of an innocent corner flag. Shrewsbury midfielder Oliver Norburn proved that preparation and tactics are key.
Another good delivery, and it's a second goal!
Roy Hodgson answered the age-old question, how's your touch? At the Hawthorns, one West Brom fan tried to liven the mood with his slick moves in a rather bizarre outfit. And in Newport, goalkeeper Joe Day ran off the pitch at the final whistle, having learnt that his wife had gone into labour, giving birth to two twin girls later on that evening. The Exiles are solidifying themselves as one of the Emirates FA Cup surprise packages for the second consecutive season.
Forget having a chapter in the FA Cup story of shocks. They have the whole book at the moment.
Last year, they dumped Championship High Flyers Leeds out of the competition before taking Spurs to a replay at Wembley. This year, they're at it again, having taken down Premier League winners Leicester in the third round before dumping high-flying Championship side Middlesbrough out of this year's competition with a strong 2-0 victory, setting up a mouth-watering clash against current Premier League champions Manchester City at Rodney Parade.
And such is the magic of the world's oldest cup competition.
Looking ahead to the fifth round, QPR host Watford on Friday, followed by Brighton versus Derby, Wimbledon versus Millwall, and Newport versus Manchester City on Saturday. With Wolves travelling to Bristol hoping for a win, Crystal Palace facing off against Doncaster, and Brentford making the trip to Swansea on Sunday. Monday night features the clash of the big guns, as Chelsea host Manchester United in a repeat of last year's final. In what should be a captivating tie, Manchester United will be looking for revenge after Eden Hazard's penalty helped Chelsea lift a trophy last summer. With only 16 clubs left in the competition and only 6 Premier League sides remaining, there is potential for some surprise names in the pot for the quarterfinal.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.